Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. It's interesting that with each of these Friday episodes that I do over time, now it's been, 4 or 5 months of this, the content from week to week feels relatively consistent, though over time, as I look back, I realize that it has changed and morphed over that time. Back in September and October, when I first started, I feel like the focus was around the rapid release of executive orders that Donald Trump was putting into place by the dozens. And it was this head-spinning thing to try and keep track of all of the decrees that he was making and the things that he was stating he was going to try to accomplish. And that has sort of slowly shifted over time to talking more about what is happening with ICE. That is not all we're going to talk about today. I'm going to start out with some other items, but we will get into, again, new occurrences this last week from ICE. And, I mean, the evolution makes sense. Donald Trump has not signed many executive orders in the last couple of months compared to the first several. And ICE is the physical enforcement of his fascist policies, or at least a physical symbol or demonstration of his intent to establish fascism and the power behind it. Those things which he cannot accomplish with the law, he is in many cases trying to accomplish with his secret police. Let's actually start with an article from Mother Jones titled "Documents Prove the Trump Administration Arrested Students for Criticizing Israel." This is fascinating. It talks about how documents unsealed by a federal judge this week confirm that the federal government's attempts to target, arrest, and deport students for pro-Palestine speech on college campuses last year. The court records also make clear the methods of investigation. The government looked to unverified accounts shared on social media and utilized something called Canary Mission, a shadowy online blacklist created by anonymous authors to smear pro-Palestine activists to gather evidence against student protesters. Looking into this project, Canary Mission, is terrifying. There's over 5,000 different names that anonymous authors, like it says, went through people's social media, found people who were pro-Palestine or anti-Israel, put them into this list. And then the Department of Homeland Security targeted some of these students, specifically through ICE. Anyway, it's a bit of a lengthy article, goes through the investigation, but I will post that in the sources. Watching the news this week, I saw a clip of Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky speaking with Marco Rubio, who was testifying on Capitol Hill. And Rand Paul said, in regards to Maduro and the Trump administration's actions in taking him out of Venezuela. He said, "What if a foreign country indicts our president for violating a foreign law? Should we extradite our president, or should we be okay if they come in and get him by force?" Which is a great question, saying we have taken it upon ourselves to go into a country. We've simply said that this president has broken some laws, and so we are going to take that into our own hands. If another country were to say the same thing about us, would we simply just hand over President Trump or allow them to come with force? And Marco Rubio's response was basically to say that we'll do whatever is in our best interest nationally. And then, of course, for that reason, we would defend the president against anyone trying to take that action against him. And Rand Paul's response was essentially, "Sir, we do this because we can, because we have the force. We have the power to do it. You say it's for our national interests. What you're really saying is that because we have the force and the power, we can bully our way in and take what we want." And then the video cut. And that seems to be sort of the main principle being applied both internationally in a foreign affairs sense, but also internally within the United States. It's Foucault's boomerang, right? It's this idea that what we do abroad will eventually come home and we'll do it at home. We are bullying other nations with power, and we are bullying our own citizens with that power as well. There is a senator out of Connecticut named Chris Murphy, and he has been in the news a lot this week for speaking up and calling out the Trump administration for much of what's been going on, specifically regarding ICE. He says this. To summarize, he says that the Trump administration is creating mayhem to take over elections in swing states, including Minnesota, ahead of the 2026 midterms. He said this is breathtaking. They're using the threat of continued ICE raids, raids that have already terrorized communities, resulted in the death of U.S. citizens, and sparked widespread protests, as a bargaining chip to get their hands on voter files. This isn't law enforcement. This is election interference dressed up as immigration policy. And yes, Pam Bondi has come out and basically sent a letter that said, hey, Governor Walz, if you want us to leave, if you want us to reduce the ICE presence, then simply hand over Minnesota's voter rolls. On that, Democratic strategist Matt McDermott said, as insane as this sounds, it's true. Pam Bondi sent Minnesota officials a letter today saying ICE would leave the state if Minnesota turns over its voter rolls to the Trump administration. They're openly using state violence as a bargaining chip to seize election infrastructure ahead of the 2026 midterms. It is extortion, and it was shot down. Walz responded to Pam Bondi making these demands, saying, I would just give a pro tip to the AG, Attorney General. There's 2 million documents in the Epstein files we're still waiting on. Go ahead and work on those. He was basically saying, I reject your claim here, your offer. Why don't you spend your time working on the things that you should be, like the Epstein files? And the fact of the matter is, Pam Bondi offering this demonstrates that they don't actually care all that much about immigration. And that's been kind of obvious from the beginning. It's a show, right? It riles up their supporters. It's a way to be able to show force and intimidation and fear. It's a way to cause this mayhem and havoc that Chris Murphy is talking about, in which they could essentially declare martial law or the Insurrection Act to either make it so that they don't have to hold midterms, or to make it so that certain locations don't get to vote because there's a curfew or the military's in the street or whatever it is that it ends up being. Democrats throughout this have largely been spineless, or if spineless isn't the right word, corrupt might be the other word. Right? Their interests, they are backed by billionaires, and those billionaire interests are for things to continue to function normally. That said, in some areas, certain Democrats are standing up, Chris Murphy being one of them. Schumer has threatened a shutdown. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has also stood up saying that they are going to shut the government down. Senate Democrats will not provide the votes to proceed to the appropriations bill if the Department of Homeland Security funding bill is included. So a bill to fund ICE is part of this overall appropriations bill. And because of actions in the recent weeks, Democrats are essentially threatening to shut down the government again in an effort to, in this way, defund ICE, right? To not allow for this funding bill to go through. It's yet to be seen if enough Democrats will back it. It certainly would be fascinating, though, if we had a government shutdown based around the funding or abolition, in a sense, of ICE. Walz also sent in the National Guard this last week. This was received very mixed emotions on this. Some celebrating it, saying that it gives an opportunity for National Guard to protect citizens against ICE. Though it is clear that at least up to this point, that is not the intent of sending the National Guard in. What they really ended up doing was going and relieving local officers who are protecting federal buildings, the main federal building in Minneapolis, where ICE is concentrating, and protecting that building from protesters. The claim was to allow, by doing this, they're allowing the officers to be freed up to go about the regular tasks that officers need to do, responding to domestic violence and all the other calls that don't involve ICE. The National Guard, though, did make a fairly immediate difference in tone, I think, especially around that building. Protesters did sort of stop making it a central location in which they were protesting, or especially angrily protesting. You know, the National Guard helped de-escalate. They came with donuts and they came with muffins and hot chocolate or whatever. And these people are local, right? That's the way the National Guard works, is at least if it is the state National Guard, these are people that live in the community. And they, I think, did a good job of showing we're not here to cause problems or to cause fights. We want peace. While, what ICE is doing, what ICE wants, is clearly the opposite. So it's yet to be seen if there will at any point be any conflict between ICE and the National Guard. So far, that is not the case, especially because the National Guard is in a way supporting enforcement. All right, moving on, let's talk about some of the things specifically that ICE are doing or have done this week that are especially fascist. So Kash Patel says that the FBI is investigating signal chats of Minnesotans tracking ICE. So they're keeping a log of people who are out in the streets filming ICE, talking about ICE. There's, you know, groups of people that may be coordinating, passing out whistles, talking about where ICE might be next or where they are now and all that sort of thing. And the FBI is investigating the signal chats, so monitoring private communications channels of those individuals, which it should be obvious now and has been obvious for a long time that there isn't really such thing as a private communications channel unless it's completely encrypted. What exactly they will do with this information, I don't know. They're just finding those individuals by name so they know who to target later. Are they discovering what this group knows and trying to figure out how they know it? Are they using it to try and create criminal cases against them? It's not sure. You know, we're not sure, but it's definitely not good. Now, all of this week is based around the escalation, based around the shooting of Alex Preddy. If you don't know about this, that would be very surprising. You can look it up. I'm not going to go into detail about what happened here, other than to say that the video proof shows that Alex was never threatening officers, especially with his firearm. He never moved towards it, never had any intention of grabbing it. It stayed in his holster the entire time until one of the officers pulled it out, after which he was shot 11 times by two different officers. In my opinion, this was an execution, and it very well may be that ICE officers had a vendetta against Alex because they had had an altercation with him the week before. So when we ask, you know, what is Kash Patel doing with the signal chats and the information of these individuals? Well, it could very well be the same thing that they did with Alex Preddy, right? If they had targeted him, if they knew who he was or remembered him from the previous week or recognized him as one of, you know, someone who was out there frequently blowing his whistle and filming, then they may have had a vendetta against him. The fact that the ICE agents and the Department of Homeland Security are arresting people for being on a list that was made by anonymous authors because they are anti-Israel or pro-Palestine. You've got Donald Trump, who is constantly talking about taking things out against his enemies. It makes it clear that so much of what is happening is targeted and that, you know, we may head more and more this direction in the future. As I go through some of these other things with ICE, we'll touch back on Alex Preddy and some of the impacts that it's had on Minnesota this week and, you know, on ICE's stance and their place there. But first, some other items. ICE accused of sexually torturing migrants at former World War II camp Fort Bliss. Among 80-plus reported violations. This is a camp in El Paso, Texas, and the byline says that as deaths in ICE custody hit a 20-year high, which ICE has only been around for 22 years, the growing outcry has reached a fever pitch with immediate demands to shutter the facility and end the black box of abuse. This was a 19-page investigative report supported by the American Civil Liberties Union and Human Rights Watch, which details more than 80 documented human rights violations of federal standards, ranging from officers reportedly crushing the testicles of restrained migrants to a teenager being beaten so severely that he suffered permanent hearing loss. We are going to touch back on a little bit later more in regards to the conditions in these detention camps. And I guess on that note, as I come to this next article, the video that shows screaming and sobbing can be heard from outside the ICE Children's Detention Center in Dilley, Texas. The person that was filming this was quickly ushered away. Someone from inside came out and said, hey, you can't film here. Get out of here. So he left. It's hard to really determine or decipher exactly what the sounds are coming from inside the camp. Is it screaming and crying? Is it some other, you know, I don't know. I don't want to claim exactly what it is I'm hearing. You can go in and listen for yourself. But there's definitely some chaos and hullabaloo coming from inside there. This at a time when a bunch of inmates were protesting inside these camps, gathering together, holding up signs. There's a drone footage of, you know, someone capturing these protests inside the camps. And while people are dying in them, we talked last week, I believe, about the gentleman that had died in one of these camps. The officers there claimed that they were trying to prevent him from committing suicide, but were unsuccessful, while the medical examiner declared that it was a homicide and that the guards had killed him. I believe he was suffocated. There was leaked footage from an ICE black site inside of 31 Hopkins Plaza, Baltimore, Maryland. More than 50 people in rooms with no beds or bathrooms, people laying on filthy floors, guard beatings, and people with legal status being illegally held. This was just on the 25th. And yeah, this footage shows, you know, someone's got a phone inside. They're waving it around, showing people just crammed into this tiny room. They've got the foil heat blankets, and that's it. People on the video are claiming that they are beaten, and it looks like overall just terrible, miserable conditions. I do wonder, how do these 50 people go to the bathroom? The text says that there's no beds and no bathrooms. Are they relieving themselves somewhere in that crowded room? Are they able to knock on a door and get escorted out? I don't know. There's a video of a press conference from Greg Bovino. He has been one of the sort of main agents in charge in Minneapolis for ICE. He is basically saying, if we call ICE names, there will be, quote, consequences, as we saw yesterday. And yeah, listening to the video, he basically says, look, you can't just bother these ICE officers like this. You can't be calling them names. You can't be getting in the way. If you do any of these things, there are consequences for this. And we saw these consequences yesterday. And he's referring to the murder of Alex Pretty. Now, I guess some good news on that front. Things are starting to turn in the public sentiment, including amongst many on the right, when it comes to ICE and when it comes to Trump's current actions. And we're going to go through a few of those things and how all of this kind of shifted this week and what maybe some of the consequences might be. ICE has made some mistakes, right? Not just from they're doing terrible fascist things, but in their approach, in order to consider what they are doing as successful, right? They've made some missteps. The biggest one of these being killing Alex Pretty while he was legally carrying a weapon with which he had a permit for. In the U.S., if you have a concealed carry permit, you can carry a holstered weapon concealed in public. And that is what he did. He was in public at a public protest. He never reached for his weapon. He never threatened anyone with his weapon. He was tackled. That weapon was removed. He was shot. And now Bovino and others used that weapon as the justification for their shooting. And so the natural response was, okay, all of you Second Amendment lovers, all of you gun lovers, how is this okay? Would you be okay with being shot by the government simply for having your concealed weapon on you like you're supposed to have? It was his legal right to carry. He did everything the right way as far as not drawing it, not bringing attention to it, not threatening anyone with it. But the government's saying it's okay that he was shot and killed because he had it. This goes against everything that the Second Amendment stands for. And the NRA, which, by the way, up until this point, the NRA has been mostly a very conservative, movement, because the fear out there, the conspiracy has always been that the left is coming for your guns, the left wants to take your guns, because liberals fight for gun control. Gun control does not mean removing everyone's guns. It means making it a little bit more difficult to get one, by making sure that, you are trained on how to use it, making sure that you have a clear background check, making sure that, you have proper mental health and those types of things. And the NRA has always been about, and, their monetary interests are in making sure that guns are just as widely available as possible. So while they've normally been more on the side of the conservative movement, they did come out and say, hey, we're not cool with this, basically, right? They released statements. And anyone who is a Second Amendment enthusiast, if they're looking objectively at all, they would have to look at this situation and say, whoa, that's not okay. You combine that with Trump himself saying, when he's being questioned out on the White House lawn by reporters, he says, with that being said, you can't have guns. You can't walk in with guns. You just can't. You can't walk in with guns. You can't do that. But this is just a very unfortunate incident. Trump has made very questionable claims several times, or maybe not claims, but questionable statements on guns. He has said in the past, take their guns first, due process second. The types of things that most Second Amendment enthusiasts, or if this was a Democrat president that had said these things, they would lose their minds about. This is one of those areas in which the right may think that they are owning the libs or whatever when it comes to firearms, but A, many on the left are armed in the United States. Many, many. I think it is a misconception that people on the left are not armed. And B, when a tyrannical fascist government seeks to take control of its people, the first thing that it wants to do is to remove their ability to defend themselves. And that is what we're seeing. That is why Trump has reacted this way. That is why ICE has reacted this way. But I think some on the right hopefully more and more every day, are realizing that they and their freedom to bear arms are also in direct danger, even from their own president, even from someone who they think is just there to own the libs, realizing that may not be the case. Now, this is not happening on you know, this is not like a widespread thing where every conservative is waking up to this and realizing it, but it's starting to shift in many ways. And statements from the NRA like this are huge. Now, because of these missteps, they need a scapegoat, right? And as they try and backpedal. So there's been a bunch of things that have happened this week. Greg Bovino, who we just talked about earlier, has kind of been forced to step back into a different role. They're pulling him from Minneapolis. There are reports of increased pressure on Kristi Noem. People are threatening, you know, Democrats are threatening impeachment if he doesn't force her to resign. So she may not have her place for much longer. The chief federal judge in Minnesota has ordered the acting director of ICE, Todd Lyons, to appear personally in court under oath this Friday, so today, and warned that he could be held in contempt for the agency's repeated violations of court orders. Quote, the court's patience is at an end. There was an article, I thought I pulled it up, but I'm not seeing it here, that basically said that ICE agents have likely committed more or broken more federal laws against judge orders than any federal agency like combined over the last however many years. It's an explosion of illegal activity. And this judge is saying enough is enough. Let's talk. So on the personnel front, there's mix-ups or shake-ups, I guess I should say, as the Trump administration is trying to save face. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean victory in any way, right? This doesn't mean that anything has really changed. They'll find other people to put in their place. They will harass other cities. Trump did have a marked shift in tone, talking about Governor Walz, saying he basically claimed that they made some negotiation deal and that Trump got a ton out of this deal, when in reality, he, just like all of his other negotiations, talks tough and then doesn't get anything out of it. He basically gets something he already had, which in this case was access to people that were arrested by the state who were undocumented, which Walz basically just said, yeah, that's something we already do, but sure, man. In exchange for what Trump said would be ICE lowering their presence in Minneapolis. So does that mean that ICE is going to lower their presence everywhere? No. I think what it means is that Minneapolis won this battle. Minneapolis showed up. The people showed up in the right way, consistently and persistently enough, that it shifted the public perspective in the right direction. This battle, or this war, I guess, is not one around body counts. It's not about death tolls. It's not about land grabs. It's about power. And often power is given by the people and by public perception. And in this case, the PR of ICE's battle in Minneapolis was negative. And it was negative amongst, in many cases, Trump's own supporters. If protesters can accomplish that battle after battle, then I think that is how they win the war. To a degree, Trump requires, relies on support. Now, that may not always be the case. He may one day have enough power consolidated to be able to say, it doesn't matter if anyone in the country, from a average citizen standpoint, supports me, right? Right now, he might have 25 to 30% of the nation that backs him loyally. Maybe one day he can get by with only 5% if he's completely rigged everything. But right now, I don't believe that's the case, and they know that. And that is why they're leaving Minnesota. So wherever it is that they go next, and whoever it is that's in charge there, the hope is that they take the, you know, the example of what we've seen. And in many cases, that may mean showing up to protests armed, legally, not giving any excuse or justification to be detained, hurt, tackled, murdered, but to show that if they are going to push the line, if the administration, if the ICE agents are going to cross those lines, that when they do it, it is unjustified, and they do it in a way that threatens all Americans, not just the liberals. Trump did not invoke the Insurrection Act, right? He did not call in the National Guard from out of the state, and I believe that it's because he couldn't. It was a public perception battle that he had lost at that point. Now, he could go somewhere else and could escalate in a way that he would feel justified, and that the, you know, the public image, the image that comes from his supporters, improves, right? And they win that battle. That's very possible. But it is, it's yet to be seen what the next few months will look like. And we'll always be reporting back on that here. Now, there's a few other things I want to hurry and read before we stop. These are a couple of other ways in which ICE has had some missteps. One is, it says, ICE may have just caused an international incident as they illegally tried to enter the Ecuadorian consulate in Minneapolis without a warrant. They tried to go in to arrest somebody in there. Obviously, it doesn't work like that. And a consulate for a different country, they are allowed to defend themselves as if they were on their own land if you were to go in there, right? This consulate did not have a lot of security, but they were successful in eventually preventing the ICE officers from entering. Also on the international front, ICE agents boxed in and threatened Italian journalists in Minneapolis. There are journalists here from all over the world covering these things. They were providing their papers, these Italian journalists, out the window, showing their passport, showing their credentials, and it did not matter. ICE continued to threaten them. Also on the international front, and having to do with Italy, the Winter Games are here for the Olympics, and or at least right around the corner, right? And Marco Rubio will be attending, and apparently it was leaked he intends to take ICE agents with him as security. Italians did not respond well to this idea, and shot down, protested very quickly against the idea of ICE agents stepping foot in their country. It's yet to be seen how the U.S. will respond to that, if they will indeed try and send ICE agents, and how the Italian government would respond. Okay, the last thing that I want to mention here, going back to the situation in these ICE camps, the conditions there. We had spoken, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, time is a funny thing right now, about a little boy, 5 years old, named Liam. I expressed how angry and frustrated that situation made me, the fact that he was detained, removed, and sent to a camp. He was taken from his mother and taken along with his father to this detention camp in Texas. He has been there ever since. And according to his mother, according to one of his school teachers and to others, he is now quite sick in this detention center. This article from The Independent says, Liam Conejo Ramos, the 5-year-old boy taken by immigration and custom enforcement agents in Minneapolis, is now sick, sleeping a lot and asking for his mom, according to his family and lawmakers who have visited him. Quote, he seemed lethargic. His father said that Liam has been sleeping a lot, that he's been asking about his family, his mom, and his classmates, and saying he wants to go back in school with his classmates. His mother said, he was so lethargic. He was never alert. The entire time that we were there, I was very, very concerned about his health. His father indicated that he was not eating, that they had determined that he was depressed. The 5-year-old only has one set of clothes, which his father washes every night after he goes to sleep. Oh, that last quote was not from her mom. That was from the preschool teacher. This one's from the mom. The situation of my husband, Adrian, and my son, Liam, inside the detention center is deeply concerning. Liam is getting sick because the food they receive is not of good quality. He has stomach pain. He's vomiting. He has a fever, and he no longer wants to eat. One lawmaker said that they have heard concerns about the drinking water and it making people sick. Quote, they consistently talked about the water and how awful it was, and they said the water makes them sick. They told us before that, literally, when people kept getting sick with certain water, they found that there was mold that had been like this in the container, and then they basically just put some rocks or some bleach or something in it. Attorney Eric Lee, who attempted to visit the Dilley facility Sunday, said he's similarly concerned about the water being used for baby formula. The water is putrid. They have to mix baby formula with water that nobody wants to even smell. The food has bugs in it. The food has dirt in it. Clients are locked in their room. They say there isn't always proper medical treatment. And of course, ICE responds by saying, the Dilley Immigration Processing Center is not on lockdown. Additionally, ICE would never deny any illegal alien medical care. These types of smears are leading to our officers facing a more than 1,300% increase in assaults against them. These poor victims, right? And sadly, so much of the nation views them as such. All right, I will end there on that note today. I'm really hoping that one of these weeks, as I go through and figure out which articles to discuss, I simply find that there's no content, right? I would love if on a Friday I realize, hey, there's no fascism to talk about because apparently fascism is gone. We're done with that. I would love for it to be a boring topic. And maybe, who knows, maybe one day we'll get there. But for now, every week, it seems like there are more and more articles. There are more and more points to discuss because it's all happening so fast. See you next week. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, Thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.